Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Thing I Love Most show. The thing we all love most is Tottenham Hotspur. And this week I am joined once again on Skype because we are too lazy to go to the pub. No, we've all been had busy days and we haven't been able to get there to record properly. So we are recording via Skype, but I think it looks quite good. I think we're doing all right. So once again, I'm joined by Matt. How are we doing, Matt?
Yeah, not bad, mate. Yourself?
Very good, thank you. And I'm joined by Don for the first time on Skype.
How are you doing, Don?
Yeah, wicked, mate. Wicked. Very good. Okay, so obviously we're just going to be talking about the previous games in the past past week or so since our last show. Looking forward to the Man U game and talking about the FA Cup draw as well. So let's cast our mind back now to the Tranmere game. An amazing, amazing result. I don't think any of us were predicting that. I can't remember what our predictions were. I think I went for 3-0 maybe. I'm not sure, maybe even 2-0. I can't remember what Matt went for. It was
2-1 you went.
2-1. Yeah.
Did I go 2-1? I didn't. It's a lie.
I went 2-1.
You went 2-1. You stole it. But it was an incredible performance. Obviously, the opposition was not to the standard that we're used to. But, you know, I mean, we saw from Newport beating Leicester and Oldham beating Fulham that, you know, these are not terrible teams. To be in the league, you have to be of a certain standard. And to go to their ground and to play on the pitch, which is actually not a bad pitch, was incredible. And obviously, you know, Aurier hit a screamer, hashtag deflection. And then after that goal went in, the whole game sort of changed. And then it just seems like every attack we were scoring from, it was absolutely ridiculous. I can't remember anything like it. Great performances from Llorente, obviously getting the goals. It must be so frustrating for him to have to wait. And then when he does come on, try and perform to that high level. But I thought he looked confident. Foyth at the back, very good game. Nice to see him back. We did speak about it, didn't we? I don't know if it was you, Don, or Matt, or Lee, who mentioned that they weren't sure about having the two youngsters at the back, Sanchez and Foyth. I'm thinking about it being you, Matt. And I think they proved themselves. I think Foyth, was man of the match in a few people's eyes, which was an interesting one, considering it was that type of game that you wouldn't think that he would have that much to deal with. And obviously Skip, controlling things from the middle of the park, two assists, looked like he was sort of, you know, getting really, really comfortable in that first team environment, which is amazing to see. So did any of you sort of think it was going to be that good, or what were your thoughts on the match, Matt?
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be 7-0. I mean, I got it when I predicted that Wolves game 6-0. What I actually meant was the Tranmere game. But yeah, it was one of them games where a lot of fans have been saying, especially on social media, you know, years ago Tottenham wouldn't have, you know, that would have been one a game that we would have really struggled to play in. But even recently, I mean, last season we had a couple of games, didn't we? We played at Newport, and I'm trying to remember the other FA Cup game where we
Rochdale.
That's right, and they both were draws, weren't they? And they both ended up back at Wembley. So, you know, even last season, it was still a banana skin kind of game. But yeah, we just made it easy. And like you say, Noel, the second half, more or less every attack we had just ended up in a goal. And although, you know, obviously Llorente got the hat trick and he sort of stole the headlines, Sonny just had a fantastic game. He was just like, seemed to be involved in everything. And it's just making me even sadder that, you know, Sunday's going to be his last game for a while, because he is just orchestrating so much at the moment. And, you know, the goal, the assists, it was a Sonny show for me the second half.
Yeah, I can completely agree with you there, Matt. To see him leave, to go, to, you know, we're not leaving the club, but, you know, to go on international duty, we will suffer because of that. There isn't a replacement for him. It's like if Kane was going to leave, there isn't a replacement for him either. So on the game, I thought we played extremely well. I want to say like the perfect game, but it was the perfect blend of both, you know, the first teamers and Pop introducing that youth into the team. I kind of agree with what Noel said about Foyth being man of the match. I thought once he got the ball, he seemed to command and pass the ball out of defence really well. I'm not saying that Sanchez was a passenger, but I think he, you know, he wasn't taking that many risks, and Foyth was the one that was like trying to play it more out of into midfield. Really, just, you know, a brilliant performance. The second half, as Noel said again, it seemed like every single time we had a chance to go forward, we would score. I'd get up, go into the kitchen, come back down, and another goal would be scored. That was what was happening. You had to rewind and catch up. I think Llorente's chances were really good. They seemed easy when you look back on the game, but he's doing the right things. He was running into the box. And that experienced head knows that, you know, it seems like they're just tap-ins, but it's once he gets into them positions, he knows what to do. He knows exactly where it's going to go. And, you know, three cool, calm finishes from Llorente.
And he's not shown that clinical nature in recent times. And it's good that he seems to have that now. He's been wasteful. His touch hasn't necessarily been as good. And I think he seems a little bit leaner this season and maybe just a bit fitter. And, you know, he just seems really focused. And it's a shame that he doesn't get enough time, I think, because I think Kane should be rested far more than he is. And I know we've spoken about this in the show before in terms of, like, games where we're, you know, we're 3-0 up, or for example, you know, just take him off. Like, you know, I thought he looked tired last night against Chelsea. So it's perfect opportunity to do so. Obviously, he did play against Tranmere, and I quite liked Poch's response in when questioned about it. And he basically said, you know, he's the English captain. He's a golden boot winner. You know, he's an English icon. And so, you know, Tranmere fans don't get the opportunity to see players like that. And so it wasn't just a case of trying to sort of, like, you know, win the game more, which obviously we didn't need to do, or even sort of, like, you know, just give him a run out. It was because he was giving the Tranmere fans an opportunity to see the England captain and the World Cup golden boot winner, which I thought was a really nice touch.
Do you know as well, I've heard someone told me that apparently with Kane, when he's on the bench, when he's a sub, he's an absolute pain in the neck, and he's always just asking when I'm going to come on.
Really?
So there must have been an element of that, you know. Obviously, you know, I'm not disbelieving what Poch has said, because I think it's right. It was a nice thing to do. It was a nice gesture. You know, obviously we were 6-0 up, so it's not going to make any difference, is it, who comes on and who comes off. But it was nice for the Tranmere fans to have that player, you know, and see him play for a little while. And obviously see him score a goal as well. But yeah, I've heard he can really just get on Poch's nerves. So that might have come into it.
I think what I found quite funny about the whole FA Cup weekend, the most sort of the most tense I was out of the whole weekend, the Tranmere match included, was the draw. Because those remaining four balls,
yeah.
I was like, whoa. I was like, even though I'm confident and even though I think we will beat both of them, obviously in Man U and Arsenal, if you didn't see the draw the way it panned out, the four balls left in at the end were Crystal Palace, Tottenham, Man United and Arsenal. And then Arsenal came out first and I was like, no, obviously we'll still beat them probably. But I was like, just no, we don't need that. And then obviously Man U, and it was like, what a touch. Saying that, obviously, we're probably going to lose to Palace now, so fingers crossed. But it was just so funny the way it worked out. And we never really have that good luck in draws. It was just like, I could see the way it was working, and everyone was looking at me, like, okay, number eight, where are you? I was trying to see the ball in the bottom of the thing. I was like, oh, number eight, wait, I can't see it. And it was still there. I was like, ah!
Did you see Robbie Keane as well? Because as it bore on, he started to smile even more. And the situation, like, he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was looking at his face like, please don't pick us out. Please don't pick us out. But yeah, I'm glad we got. I'm glad that we got, considering what was left in that bowl, I'm glad we got Palace.
Yeah.
There was a point where I was thinking, please, no, I don't want Man United and I don't want Arsenal.
Definitely not.
It's one with the cup draw, at some point, nine times out of ten, you're going to face a difficult club at some point to win the tournament. You're going to have to face a team that's going to be difficult. But even so, saying that, when you see there's Accrington Stanley in there, you'd rather get them than get Man United or Arsenal. It's just natural, isn't it? No matter, you've got to beat them at some point, but you'd just rather have an Accrington Stanley, wouldn't you?
Yeah, for sure.
You'd rather have. I mean, again, there is that element of us. I didn't want to travel that far away again.
Mm.
Because you never know the conditions of pitches. We've seen what happens. We've seen, you know, the likes of, we've seen some giant killing this weekend. So you don't want that again. And you don't want a game that seems on paper easy for us to win, But actually, you know, it's going to be tough. Also, you don't want to replay. That's the other thing. You don't really need that.
Sure.
But it sounds like all you were doing was travelling from the sofa to the fridge, John. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, that was it.
It's not going to make much difference to you.
I've been in another can.
Liverpool going out was a bit of a surprise. I mean, I thought what the FA Cup seems to have turned into now, and all the cup competitions really domestically, are it's a squad competition, and you could almost call it the B team cup for most teams now. Early stages, the Premier League teams, even Brighton playing Bournemouth, like, you know, they both made massive changes, and a lot of the teams have, and you know, City did as well, obviously, even though their B team is ridiculous. But I was surprised because, you know, Wolves are no mugs, as we have experienced from ourselves. And, you know, they were a quality team. So do you think Liverpool were complacent, or they just underestimated Wolves' capabilities? Because I would have thought that they would have probably performed better. But then, you know, we made 8, 9, 10 changes, whatever it was. Obviously, it was Tranmere. But, you know, that team would have maybe got a result at Wolves. So it shows you that our squad, people go on about it, the fact we don't have the numbers and, you know, we need to sign players. Our squad is up there with the best of them, I think.
Completely agree. I cannot agree, you know, anymore. Because if you take out the front three from that Liverpool team, you know, attacking-wise, they've replaced them with Origi and Sturridge. And whoever else that played that day, and just didn't, you know, you can see the difference. I'm not saying you can't see the difference between Llorente, Lamella, and let's say Lucas Moura as the other three attacking options in our team, but I think that they're head and shoulders above, you know, in terms of their performance this season. They're better than Sturridge. I think Sturridge is like, he knows that his games are limited. I'm not saying he doesn't care, but you can see that he's just not up to it. He doesn't seem match fit. And the desire to want to do it, you know, if there's a game here and there, he's not really that interested. Whereas our players seem like they're on it. They seem, you know, Llorente, Lucas, they want to play. So,
yeah. And they're getting more game time, aren't they? Sturridge is hardly playing. Origi's hardly playing. So, you know, at least Lucas and Lamella are he does rotate more. Obviously, Llorente is the one who's not getting the game time, as we spoke about. But I think
he's got that. You know, he's got that. You know, that experience that you can't buy that. You know, he's sitting on the bench, but I think he's ready to go. You know, that's the advantage we have with having a striker like that, and obviously not having, no disrespect to Vincent Janssen, but he's a young striker with no experience, and so that, you know, that when he comes on, he's probably putting too much effort into his game, whereas you got to relax Llorente.
I really felt that with Janssen. That was really sad, because I think he is quite talented, but you could see that he was trying far too hard, and almost his instincts went out the window, you know, because he obviously, when he has played at a different level and felt more comfortable and confident, that's when your instincts come into play and you do finish better. But he was like, you could just tell. But it's the same with any striker, you know, all strikers. Kane had it, Defoe had it, you know, they breed off confidence, and they're better players when they're confident. They go for shots as opposed to like pass back. And Darren Bent was a prime example. He was awful for most of this time at Tottenham because he wasn't getting played regularly and he just wasn't confident, and he wasn't a bad player. But Janssen played, he got a half in, I think, this week. He did all right for the under 23. So a bit of, you know, Kumud from the Spurs fans DSI group, she was happy. She's a big fan.
I was at the game on Monday night, because he's in Stevenage near where I live. So I managed to get to the game with my little boy, and he just didn't look a happy, you know, unsurprisingly, he didn't look a happy fella, Janssen. He cut a frustrated figure. And I think part of it was because he's playing with, you know, the under 23s, and the level's not obviously there, is it, that the level he's used to playing at? But yeah.
That's a perfect opportunity though, to show that he is above that.
He didn't have a bad game. He had a couple of chances, but he just, you know, when you just look at a player and they don't look happy. And a bit probably what you were saying, Don, about Sturridge, you know, you get that feeling with the players that they're just not happy. And unsurprisingly, I mean, it's no surprise that he's like that, because obviously what's happened in his career at the moment. But yeah, he didn't look a happy fella, you know. And I think for all parties, I think it's probably one of those things where he's got to move on now, because, you know, it doesn't look like there's any way back for him, does there?
Well, he wasn't included in any of the squads, and I don't think that's going to change. So, yeah, I think he will potentially go, even if it is just a loan move. I think that's going to happen. So,
listen, there's always a way back. We've seen what happens. There's always a way back, guys. We know that. We know that now. We know that. So just, you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's always a way
back. There's always a way back.
There's always a way back now.
Today, obviously, is the day after we had our Chelsea victory. I'm not going to lie, I didn't like it. I hated it, actually. It was just like pure torture. Every time they attacked, I thought they were going to score, as in Chelsea. We looked tired, I thought, and it was a very, very frustrating game. I felt like it was a lot of the games where we sometimes played the bigger teams and we look a little bit nervous, and I don't know if Poch tells them to sit back, because it happened against Dortmund and Madrid, or whether they just feel like they have to sit back because they are getting pressured up top. But I mean, it was mentioned before, I can't remember, one of the players in the interviews after the game, they said that they did feel like they got pushed back, and so they had to play deeper. But that's up to them. Like, they don't have to do that. They could have pushed forward. They could have pressed, but they chose not to. And I don't know if that is nerves, whether they were too worried about Chelsea getting in behind. But, you know, I mean, tactically, I suppose you could say it worked in the fact that we sat back. We basically said, what have you got? And they didn't have anything. So, you know, in a way, fair play. But against a better team who had a decent striker, you know, you're gonna get caught out. Gazza obviously had a decent game, but he was mainly dealing with long shots and what that one deflected cross, and obviously Christensen missed a good chance for them. So I found it quite frustrating. I also found it quite frustrating to sit with people that I've not sat with before. I was with one friend, but like we were in Club Wembley and I haven't sat there for ages. And there were just some idiots around us, man. I was like, oh man. Just like, and I was thinking to myself, like, we're sitting with six other people when we eventually do get into the new stadium, our season ticket. So we're sitting, I was like, if we've got some dickheads behind us, I'm going to be so screwing, because I just couldn't concentrate on the game. And they were, you know, those type of people, I think they were a little bit pissed up, fair enough, you know.
Of course, yeah. We're doing club women.
I get it. But, you know, when, and also the referee was poor. I didn't think he was
terrible.
He was not blowing for stuff, which was so blatant, and then he would book winks for like a tiniest like little trip. It was like, just what are you doing? He had a poor game, I thought, Michael Oliver. And so obviously there was some like annoyance at the ref, and I get that. But when it's obvious that there's not a free kick and you're still standing up going, rah, 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 I'm just like, no, just accept that it's not a free kick. Don't run your mouth off. Just shut up. Like, and the guy next to me, he was saying, oh, Gazzaniga, like, you know, Gazzaniga was doing some like risque balls, I must admit. And I don't know if Poch has told him to play like that or whether it's just in his head. I know obviously Lloris is similar, but they were trying to play out a little bit too much for my liking, which was quite scary, I thought. But the guy next to me was like, well, liability, this Gazza. But like, he's conceded like 5 goals in 9 games.
We've won every game he's played in.
We've won every single game he's played.
And he was like, oh, liability. But then the best was the VAR, obviously, which was just, you know, it took about 90 seconds, but eventually it came in. It was amazing. You know, everyone was cheering. Yeah, we got the penalty. We scored the penalty. And he'll be like, it's good when it goes for us. But, you know, and I was like, what are you? Like, are you the type of person that just like looks at a bus and like, oh, lucky that didn't hit us. It's like, what? How do you live your life?
Like, mood humor.
Not believe it. We just scored a penalty in the semi-final. And he was like, well, it's good when it goes for us, but what if it doesn't? I'm like, what? Where was your mindset? So if we have anyone sat like that behind us in the new stadium, then, oh, man, I can't believe it. But, yeah, I mean, like I said before, wasn't a massively enjoyable game. Every time they were attacking, I thought they were going to score, but we got the result in the end. And frustratingly, I didn't realise, but away goals don't count. And so now I thought it was a decent result. We kept a clean sheet, you know, so they would have to score. If we score over there, then they've got to score three, but they don't. If it's level, so if they win 1-0, if they win 2-1, it goes straight to penalties. So that is a bit of a game changer, because I got a bit excited the fact we kept a clean sheet, but in fact, actually, it doesn't mean anything. So anyway, I've waffled on far enough. Now let's go over to Don and give us your match report. Over to Don.
Well, I'm unlike you, I was quite happy with the way we played. I know it sounds really strange. It wasn't a great watch, but it was a controlled performance by Tottenham. And when I say, what I mean by controlled is that we defended extremely well. And, you know, as the game bore on, I almost thought, well, there's no way they can't score, because we're defending so well. Unless we make a stupid mistake, which didn't really come. I think that we had a couple of, you know, sort of the ball from Hudson-Odoi that hit the post. So I think it was, Gazaniga might have been saved that. I'm not sure, but it went across the post. It was really, and the Christian chance, which he should have, I think, should have hit with his left, but, you know, he sort of stabbed it with his right. Yeah. I was really happy with our performance. I thought we played really well. We definitely, my only concern was we probably needed a second goal. And just for the reason that, you know, having a two goal cushion would have been, you know, just made me feel a bit more comfortable as a fan. But I was really impressed by our team. You know, the cameo appearance from Skip. Watching Skip right at the end, sort of hassle Hazard. He's making, you know, the guy's making a lot of progress. Every appearance I see him in, he seems to grow. It reminds me a little bit of Winks when he came in. You know, the progress is quite fast for our academy players. Literally, you know, it seems as if you're sort of 5-6 games in, and then suddenly, as a fan, you start to realise where they fit into that squad. Mm. I was pretty impressed by the performance. Controlled, that's what I like to call it.
Matt, what were your thoughts?
It felt like, on about the 65th minute, that it was Wolves all over again. It just felt like that, you know, it was bizarre how it was happening as well, because obviously Kane scored in the first half in both of them games, and the second half we just started getting leggy and tired, and they started really dominating the game like Wolves did when we played them. And I just had this horrible feeling. I mean, I know, Don, you're saying you was feeling quite positive, but me, I was like, I've got a horrible feeling about this. And like Hazard was playing well.
I hated it.
Yeah, it was horrible. And I felt that we was playing out from the back, really living dangerously at times, like, you know, hitting it across goal. And that's fair enough, like, play out from the back, but play out. Like, we was literally just, like, you know, knocking it about and then just giving them possession.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I think if you're going to play out, you know. And it's almost like they were doing the nervy stuff at the back so they could then play out. But as soon as they kind of like that, they found themselves free, they were just lobbing it back to Chelsea, who were just coming at us again.
Yeah, and just a question for both of you: how many times have we been in this situation and played well and lost the game?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
I was thinking that myself.
More times than good. You know, I remember a few seasons back, I think it was 4-2 when they beat us at I think it's Conte that beat us at Wembley.
Yeah,
we should have won the game. Won the game. So for us to play like that, I think there's an element of me like I like how we won, because that frustrates them even more. And,
and hopefully
we may even turn it on in the next game.
Yeah, of course. And the thing is as well, like, I was listening to the radio when I was heading back, and they had like Chelsea fans phoning in, Spurs fans phoning in, and the Chelsea fans were coming across as the more positive ones. They were like, oh, it's only 1-0, we can turn that around. But at the end of the day, if we don't lose at Stamford Bridge, we're in the final, aren't we?
Yeah.
As long as we don't lose, and we can even go through, like Noel was saying, we can even go through if we do lose, if it's like by the odd goal and then obviously going to penalties, but a draw or a victory and we're through. And that's what that lead gives. I know it's a slender lead. I know it's only 1-0, but it's still a lead. They have to beat us to go through, don't they? They have to beat us.
And they're not looking like they're scoring much at all. I mean, obviously we restricted them to long shots. As I always say on this show, we can score in any game. We are much more of a threat than them, and we also suit the counter attack. So, you know, obviously Sun is a big part of that and his pace is going to be a miss, which is a shame, but we still have the players to hurt them on the break, and I'm confident we'll go through.
And you're saying, though, as well, we can always score. I mean, I saw a stat earlier in the day, in the last 69 games we've played, we've only not scored in two of them in the last 69. So
Liverpool and Man City at home.
It was West Brom, I think. West Brom and Man City. Yeah.
Oh, Man City, so Liverpool.
Because we scored, didn't we? Against
we
Liverpool.
Did score in against Liverpool, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So it was quite interesting on the debate last night that they were on Sky. They were saying that because we were playing in a diamond, that in the second half we looked like we were getting more tired, and that's why they were getting quite a lot of joy down the wide. Which I was frustrated that we were looking tired, and I suppose maybe that's why, the fact that basically that they were saying that it was all central in the first half, but then Chelsea realised and they started playing wide, and then that we, by that stage, we were already looking like we were a little bit knackered, because the Chelsea had quite a bit more possession than us, which is strange for us playing at home. But I think, like I said, we were just too cagey. I think we were too, I don't even know what it was. I don't know if it was just nerves. I don't think it's something that Poch has drilled into them, but it was just a case of they just weren't high enough up the pitch. You know, if you think about that first 10 minutes, 15 minutes in the league game, when Ali obviously got the goal, when like Kane was pushing up, you know, it was polar opposite. Like, you know, we were nowhere near as high up. And it's not like they've got like really pacey players to get in behind our defence. There was no goal threat, really. I thought Hudson-Odoi actually looked quite decent. I've not really seen much of him. I think he looked okay. So maybe that was the reason why they were worried about his pace in behind. I don't know, but I was quite bemused by how just not really confident we felt or appeared.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not disagreeing with you in terms of that we looked tired. I'm clearly I'm happy that we won the game, but I think that our players put a shift in. The likes of Eriksen, he did a lot of defending yesterday. He didn't look great in terms of when he was on the ball.
He was playing very deep on his own, wasn't he? Like he was almost like the quarterback role.
But he did well to, you know, to sort of get behind the ball, and try and chase things down. So. It was almost like there was another job to be done, and I'm really glad that all of our players actually, completed that task. They could have scored more goals, but the basics were there. The basics were there. When it comes to defending, all the basics were there.
Do you know, Dele Alli impressed me with that in the second half. Like, I actually, like, you know, comparing it to the Wolves game, that's what we were missing in that game. Like, Dele Alli was getting really stuck in second half, and he was really, that's not normally his game, is it, you know? But he impressed me last night, and I think he was the difference between us kind of, you know, capitulating and conceding. He was, you know, getting stuck in, tackling, you know, getting the ball back. And yeah, Dele Alli impressed me actually last night.
He has matured this season.
We're
not at the end. I hate when I say things like this and then the next week he dives on the floor and gets burnt or but you can clearly see that his actual performances, his temperament, the tenacity is still there in his game, but he's now looks a lot more mature. He's doing things that potentially he wouldn't have done last season. You can see that.
He's definitely one of the brainiest and it has the most natural football talent in our team. And also he's one of the only ones I think that knows how to sort of kill a game out, I think, and play it a little bit nasty. I think we're not very good at that. Like, we're not very good at wasting time. We're not very good at winning possession or like just winning free kicks. Or, you know, he seems to have that knack. He seems to know when to do that and when to win those little balls and get that little touch in and win that throw in coming towards the end of the game. And we're sometimes guilty of not necessarily playing those games. And I think he's very clever at that. So yeah, I agree. I think this season he's definitely looked more mature.
And just a quick one. Yesterday's penalty is only the second awarded to us in Wembley in 45 games.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
That is a stat. And now you're obviously going to ask me what the penalty is. Don't tell me. I have no idea. let me think. Who's... No. Who was it?
Well, it just shows
did we get one against Liverpool?
There you go.
There we go. Happy days. I am a super fan.
That's it, yeah. 45 games, Liverpool, that was it.
It's incredible. Well, we've
had our fair share of away penalties. Mm. We've had loads of those, but it's strange. Like 45 games there, we've only had, you know, that's it, two.
And if it wasn't for VAR, we wouldn't have had that one, would we, as well?
I mean, what are your thoughts on that? You know, there's obviously Sarri was complaining about the VAR.
I think it depends on
where the cameras are. But the
footage that they were looking at, the ball had already gone. It was like the ball was about like 2 yards in front of Toby. The image that Sarri was looking at, the image that they were referring to. So, you know, and also you can't score with your arm. That was the only thing that was maybe in front. His feet were there. The Aspilicueta's feet were playing him on. It's like, and also it goes with the attacker. It's like, it's just standard. Like, I tell you, the fact they were complaining about it, I thought was pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
Desperate, isn't it?
Yeah, very desperate. And again, I think that VAR is there to kind of make sure that, you know, that a penalty is awarded in the correct way. But there has to be an element of giving the advantage to attacker. The point of a game is to score goals. And so even if it's just, like, you know, the most minute of offside, I still think you have to give it to them.
The benefit of the doubt.
You shouldn't really complain about little things like that.
It did take too long as well, I thought. If you look back at the TV coverage, you know, it's very obvious that once they get that line thing coming on, then it's offside. And then there already should have been someone obviously looking to see that Kepa didn't touch the ball. It was a pen. It was a blatant pen. He completely wiped him out. Mm. Like, it should have been, as soon as that offside was done, bang. It took too long. And that's the issue people have with VAR. We were all waiting around, not really know what was happening. It was like, it needs to be quicker.
Harry Kane said after the game that, you know, obviously we experienced VAR in the World Cup, and you can see that his experience of that kept his head cool, basically, whilst you're waiting. You know, he's nowhere near, you know, you see like players trying to, well, I'm not saying that Chelsea players are trying to talk to him, but he knows how to react in that moment, keep calm and wait to just put the ball down and take his chance. So, yeah.
Can I just say with that penalty as well, Kepa hadn't even dived before it hit the back of the net. Well,
no, he gambled, I think. He gambled at staying in the middle. He thought he was going to go in the middle, which he has done in the past against Man City, against Arsenal. He has gone down the middle. So, you know, but he normally goes to the keeper's right, so he should have dived through, really. Anyway, glad he didn't. We heard news today, once again, updates from the club about the delay to the stadium being opened. It was no surprise, really, I don't think, but basically we were told that the next few games, including the Champions League, will be played at Wembley, and they don't know when the test events will be, and they don't know when the stadium will be open. I think, obviously, it still is very much up in the air. So, I mean, a lot of fans are getting frustrated still, which I just think is a bit boring now. I'm like, fair enough, yes. I was annoyed in September. I was annoyed because I felt like the club could have communicated it better. And I think there was definitely a cockiness in their prediction that they could have done it in the short amount of time as it does. They probably maybe just they were very, very hopeful, but they were probably a bit stupid in the way they did it. But I think it was unfortunate, obviously. But it's, if you look at Crossrail has been delayed by years. You know, these things happen, and you know, with the amount of safety that everyone has to go through now after Grenfell, it's no surprise that these things take longer. I think obviously the gripe that the Spurs fans are having now, and obviously moving later on in the season, is the fact that we were sold a season ticket at the new stadium. We paid a certain amount of money to sit in a seat that we might now not even get to sit in. They obviously couldn't have predicted that fact, but they could have maybe foreseen that maybe happening. So there should have been some communication. And so it's difficult to know exactly what they knew. But the problem is, like I said, they still don't know. Until we have these test events and until we have the actual safety things complete, no one knows. So it's just a case of waiting. And it's like the people that have been there for the opening day, they said it's stunning. And, you know, it's going to be worth waiting for. It's better than be expected. Like, we had Dean on the show that went there. And so let's just wait, you know, let's just wait. And you know, que sera, whatever will be, like, I don't really see the problem now with just waiting. The issue is, obviously, is the whole, now, if we do get the opportunity to move in, say, for example, for the Palace game, if that might happen, if not, then do we move? Do we move mid-March? Do we move early April? Or do we wait, obviously, and then make the transition at the beginning of next season? There seems to be quite a split decision. Quite a lot of people are saying now, and I know, Matt, you were mentioned this earlier on Facebook, is that you think that it would be a disruption to the season to move at that time, and you think it'd be better to just wait and then basically start at the beginning of next season. I think that we would really benefit from moving, in terms of the fact that the crowd would be so passionate. It would be an incredible atmosphere, and we're just not getting that at Wembley. It's flat. I mean, yesterday was obviously a semi-final, but we're not getting the crowds. People are boycotting it forever, what they meant to be. But, you know, it's still a frustration for me, I think.
Yeah. I mean, from a club point of view, they need to move in as soon as possible, from a financial point of view. But my thoughts are, so Harry Kane has already come out and said that Wembley feels like home now. And what we played there for a season and a half. And I worry that, I do understand, I do get what you're saying, Noel, that, you know, there'll probably be a better atmosphere in the sort of your Chelsea and Man United and Arsenal games. You'll get a better atmosphere for those ones. But you've still got to settle into a new stadium, haven't you? I mean, when we moved to Wembley last season, we had an awful start. I can remember we losing Chelsea, and then we drew Swansea and Burnley. And I'm not saying that's going to be the, case. But all I'm saying is that I feel like, even, you know, I don't like talking about them, but when the Malfi lot moved into their new stadium, they struggled to start with, didn't they? So I worry that if we moved now, or moved maybe for the last couple of months, the real business end of the season, when the Champions League spots are sorted, and I'm not going to say top title spots, I don't think we're going to win the league, but, you know, let's say top four, I feel like that's the worst time to disrupt our season from that point of view. So I would rather that we stayed at Wembley till the end of the season, and then come August, big fanfare, new season, new start, and that's, for me, that would feel like a better time to move in.
Dom, what are your thoughts?
You know, again, I'm not a season ticket holder like you guys, but I would like us to move into the stadium as soon as possible. I understand the dissatisfaction from the fans who have paid for a season ticket at the beginning of the season and not got the seat that they want. I think the players are fully aware of what's going on. I'm not saying they know when they're going to move to the stadium, but they are now used to that because they've moved out of one stadium and have been playing, you know, for, you know, nearly a season a season and a half in Wembley. And I feel as if we were to get into the stadium, obviously we're not going to get in there in the next 2 months, but if we were to get in there for March, which could be a crucial time of the season, I think it would be to our advantage. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think it's a very tough one to pull.
Another layer that we can add to that. You know, there's going to be nerves and that, but we're already playing football and we're already at the back end of the season. And we've been there before. I think it could be to our advantage.
I just think the atmosphere just would be electric, and we would really benefit from it.
We've seen, I mean, that last season of White Hart, not even just the last season of White Hart Lane, you know, we've all got memories of White Hart Lane, Champions League. Even now I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about that place rocking. And I think that even if it's a league game, if we, I know Matt doesn't want to talk about the title, but I am, because I know there's three teams in it and we're one of them. So
yeah, sure.
I think this could play into our hands. I think it could.
Well, you talk about the title. Man United were one of the teams that were talked about at the beginning of the season. So we obviously had a good result up at Old Trafford earlier in the season. It was one of those really, really weird games where we didn't actually play that well, but ended up 3-0 winners, and they were going through a bit of a bad patch. Obviously, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has taken over, and they seem to be playing with a bit more confidence. Pogba seems to have got his mojo back, and they're playing Rashford up front, which I think they should always have done. So it's going to be a difficult game on Sunday. I'm expecting a tough, tough game. I do still think we've got the tools to beat them. I think defensively they're still suspects. I think Phil Jones is just a disaster, basically. I'm so glad that he's not in our team, and I'm not just talking about the facial expressions that he makes, because they are rocky. That just looks quite bad for that as well. You look at photos of Skip, it's like, oh, it's like it's Papa Dodge. But it's going to be a good game, but you've got to fancy ourselves at home once again. You know, it's going to be a good crowd, nice little Sunday game, so I'm looking forward to it. So I'm not going to say my predictions right now, 2-1, but I will go over to Matt, and I will see what your thoughts are on the game, buddy.
Yeah, like you say, they've kind of freed up a bit now, haven't they? Now Mourinho's gone and they've got Solskjaer in charge. Pogba's back to the Pogba, I guess, that they pay all that money for. So they're definitely a different team. Solskjaer's made the point that they've not had a test, which might be a little bit disrespectful to the teams they've played already. But I get what you're saying. This is a test, isn't it, against us, like one of the big boys. For me, I'd hate to say it, but I think we might break our draw duck on Sunday.
You've done this before, though, with your draw all right, it's fine. Don't worry. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be tight, but I think we will stay for 2-1.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'd want us to win, but I've got a feeling it might be a 1-1. It might be a 1-1. I've got a feeling that we'll take the lead. And I know I go a bit specific sometimes with my prediction tonight, but yeah. They'll take the lead and then they're going to equalise second half.
Okay. Anyway, Don.
I'm kind of in agreement with Matt in terms of what I think might happen. Strangely, it's games where I'm completely like sort of scared, because you sort of see that they're in that, the performances are getting a lot better for Man United. I'm not saying they're back to their old self, but the fact that they're thinking of us as a test shows you that they're going to be playing at a higher, or trying to play at a higher level than they have in their previous games. I'm going to go with a draw. Purely because we did look a little bit tired in the last game, played Chelsea.
You guys sat next to me yesterday. Were you the ones moaning about the...
I just feel like, it's only yesterday we had a fairly big game.
Yeah, I agree. I know.
Son's last game. I really hope he can contribute to his last game before he goes. I hope we just wear him out, basically.
Yeah, run into the ground.
We don't want him to get injured. Don't say that. No. We don't want his hammies to go or anything like that. And also, we owe them one for last season in the semi. You know, that was frustrating. That was like our opportunity, and we felt that was so frustrating, that game, going 1-0 up, and then obviously Dembele having a bit of a mare and us losing. But that was one of the most frustrating games last season for me. That and the Juve game. They just like, oh man. So we owe them one, I think. So I'd like to think that we are going to be able to step up and and get the 3 points, and obviously keep us in you know, in touch with the top two. So fingers crossed. Okay, lads. Well, amazing to have you on the show once again. Both of you have been an absolute pleasure. Don, congratulations on your first Skype show. Yay! I wish you now to go off and have your beef chow mein that your lovely lady has cooked for you in the background. Can't believe we're not getting any. And Matt, I've no idea what you're going to go and eat, but probably it's going to be like a desperate damn pie looking at you right now. So enjoy it, my friends. And once again, everybody, thank you so much for watching and listening. We are available on all the social media channels. We're on TTILM Show on Instagram and on Twitter. And the thing I love most is on Facebook. And we also do have a YouTube channel where you can watch the show as well as listen to us on various audio channels like Spotify and iTunes and via Audio Boom. So thanks very much for listening and watching. We wish you a belated Happy New Year and enjoy the games. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Fingers crossed, it's another 3 points. Come on, you Spurs.